Will they find a home? Sponsored by GEICO. Steve is intrigued by the paranormal.
Otherworldly spirits really make a house a home, you know?
Janice has different taste.
I'd like my house to not be haunted.
Compromise is tough, but these two won't have to compromise when they bundle home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and they could save even more. In the end, Steve and Janice found a renovated Victorian that's only haunted from 9 to 5.
Okay, wife's home. Y'all gotta bounce.
Bye, Steve.
Bundling without compromise at GEICO.com.
This is the Bob and Tom Show, and we are worldwide on American Forces Radio, coast to coast on great radio stations like this one. And we're in the Napa Auto Parts studios. And we are joined on the phone. I'm getting the signal. Mr. Johnny Bench is on the phone with us. Hey, Johnny.
Hello, Tom.
It's great. Great talking to you again.
Hey, how you doing, Johnny?
It has been too long.
It has been.
It has been. I see the Washington, you know, Redskins, and I'm like, you know, I know you're pulling for them, and I'm almost pulling for you for them.
I appreciate that.
Redskins are doing okay.
Yeah.
Four in a row.
Yeah, they're doing better. I mean, they were trying to kill Cousins, run him out of town on a rail, and then all of a sudden now he's back to being a hero. And of course, the Nationals lost. I don't know if you have a tie-in with them, but watching the playoffs has been unbelievable. It's been a great sports going on.
Yeah, the Nationals, like the third year in a row, they arguably one of the best teams in baseball, and they just can't get that playoff mindset down for whatever reason.
And I assume, is the Ohio connection with the Indians?
Has Mr. Obvious been around? I miss Mr. Obvious. He's been around at all.
Well, oddly enough, Johnny, he's right here. I've been waiting for your call, buddy.
A long time caller, first time.
this is obvious here.
Wait a minute, you're Mr.
That's
Glenn.
What?
Dude, be cool.
So anyway,
I just made the connection.
Why did you pick number five, Johnny?
Let's see. Well, all the other catchers had 6, 7, 9, 8, 4, and it was the only number.
That's right.
Someone's supposed to say, "I never made the connection."
Huh.
Oh, I said it.
Okay.
You did say it.
Hey, Johnny, we were talking earlier. Weren't you one of the, if not the first catcher to use the more flexible glove so you could be a little bit more athletic behind the plate? Wasn't that you? Didn't you start that?
Well, you know, Chick, it's pretty obvious. When you break your thumb twice, you sort of hold it up there in the cast and you look at it and you think, this isn't working.
Yeah, right.
What can I do? Give me that one-handed glove, baby. I'm out of here. I broke my thumb twice in 2 years. This isn't real smart. So I said, yeah, let me have the glove. I cut all the padding out, made it like a pillow, and learn how to catch every ball that way. And it really has transformed all catchers, of course, using that.
Right.
So it's just a way of keeping them healthy.
Now, we are reading obscure rules in sports today, and there was one in which if the ball gets jammed in the umpire's face mask,
all runners advance a base.
Is that true? Did you ever witness
that?
Yeah. Never heard
never
that.
Heard
I
that.
I never did either.
I mean, if nothing else, it would be hilarious.
Yeah. No, you don't. I mean, come on, Tom. You grab the guy's mask off his head and you throw it to third.
Sure.
You know, I feel like an idiot.
Ball on their web and they throw their glove to the first base.
Right.
Team.
That's right.
Oh, God.
That's to be the same purpose.
You walk the elephant and pitch to the rhino. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Oh, God, that's funny. Now, what do you think of the contemporary face mask / helmet setup?
I'm not real crazy about it just because of the fact that I've seen in several times where guys got hit in the mask and they look like they're on their Lulu trip. And it's just like, concussions or something. We're trying to design some things out there that will prevent some of that and try to relieve the concussion amount. And we're trying to develop some mask and everything else. And I see soccer no longer allows headers and stuff like that. But the impact, I mean, I get hit by foul balls, you know, how many times a game and how many times a year. And I saw stars a few times, but it never was to the point that I could ever, you know, not be coherent with what I was doing. So I think it's kind of scary that the impact, we know that the impact is in the front, but it radiates back to the back. I mean, concussion is in the back. And once you have a concussion, it's easier to get another concussion. That's just the way it works. So we've done some studies with the National Institute of Health, actually have a paper published on that.
Wow. We're speaking, by the way, with Johnny Bench. And I know you're calling for a reason today, so I wanted to get to that. And I don't have much background in this, but why don't you tell us what this is all about? I believe it's an app. Is that correct?
That is correct. In Smithfield, it's called the Smithfield. And of course, Smithfield is this bacon and meat company and everything else. And they're going to actually announce a $25 million gift to schools across America. And my company, along with two other gentlemen, have produced this app and developed this app so that this app would be downloaded into schools. And with this, when each parent, each student, each alumni, each teacher would be able to download the app onto their phone, and they would become totally into what the school is going on. You would go into the app, you could find out what the schedule of events, what's the calendar. You'd be able to look up for your kids' testing schedules so that the kid, you know, your child would say, we don't have a test. And you go in and say, well, you have one tomorrow. It also is able to give and push notifications if, God forbid, there'd be a situation at the school that would say, we are on lockdown, all kids are safe, which is a great vehicle of knowing, keeping parents aware of what's going on. You'd be able to, if you wanted to, you could use push notifications to be alerted to schools' scores of the football game. You'd be alerted to any changes in schedules. You'd be able to go on any fundraisers. And, of course, any, most importantly, incident reporting. So if there's cyberbullying going on, if your child or your child realizes this, he can report it to the school. He can report vandalism. So it's just up to date. It's the fact that we know that almost 95% of all push notifications are read. And if it's a snow day, first thing you do at 6 o'clock in the morning, you got a push notification saying your school is not going to be open until noon today, which is something that parents keep watching that little banner. And I'm sure you used to read all of those things, all the school closures.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those days are gone.
And you never heard your school.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, but you always heard of schools you'd never heard of before.
Sure.
Yeah, and every dance academy.
Right, they're closed and we're not.
Yeah.
If the push notification would go out, you would immediately be aware of anything. The game has been rescheduled, a band thing, or you could just pick out the notifications. But it's just a great opportunity. We've had schools with over 2,500 downloads by parents and teachers, alumni, and they're all up to date. And Smithfield is making this gift to the schools to have them downloaded onto their platform. And they pay a small nominal fee per month just for the main game and upkeep of it. And it's a great opportunity for schools. The first 5,000 schools are getting them free, so we wanted everybody to know about it.
It's the Smithfield app. And are the details on your website?
Smithfield School app.
Okay, cool. Now, on a different note, I'm kind of curious. I know that obviously over the course of your career, you've signed a lot of autographs. In your office, do you have any photographs or any autograph stuff that you really you like to look at all the time that are sort of sitting behind your desk and or on your desk?
Well, right now I'm looking at Arnold Palmer.
Very cool.
Both my son and also. He and I are sitting on the couch in Minneapolis, and we're holding hands. We got them kind of, we're sitting side by side, shoulder to shoulder, and our arms and hands are interlaced. And
wow.
Yeah, that was a tough time.
Yeah, we were lucky enough to talk with the writer John Feinstein, who had some great Arnold Palmer stories, which we have actually stuck on our app. That's a tremendous loss, and he was probably the classiest of the classiest.
Yeah, I played, Tom, I played with him in 1971 in the Bob Hope Classic, and I just absolutely fell in love with him then, or type of person that he was. We became friends. We played a lot on the Champions Tour. I called him on his birthday. I called him in September on his birthday, and I actually drove up to Orlando from here in Jupiter, Florida, to have lunch with him, and you could see it. I mean, you knew it was not too far off, unfortunately, for Arnold and for the world and the world of golf, but just the world in general for what he gave to everybody.
Yeah. Did he ever give you any pointers? Not to suggest that your golf game isn't excellent.
Well, he pointed out a couple of women over in the gallery.
All right. Sure.
You know, Arnold was the guy who says, he said, I'd be standing over the ball. And he said, what are you going to do? I said, I said, well, I'm going to go for it. And he said, yeah, that's my boy. he just wanted you to go for it. He wanted you to believe that you could pull it off. And when we played, we played on the senior tour. We were paired together by not playing so great, but we were paired together quite a bit. And we would start off at, we started off at Dawn 30 because we had the worst scores, and then we got down, you know, by the time we got to the fifth hole, we had 500 people, and then by the time we got to the back nine, we had thousands of people. And I would just love to say, right there in the front, while we're standing on the tee, I said, come on, Arnold, we need a birdie. And he hitched up his pants and the crowd just loved it. He just, you know, he was one of those guys. He was the guy everybody could relate to. He wasn't those guys from my guy from Wall Street. He was just one of them. And he could walk among kings. He could walk among presidents. And all those kings and presidents felt less than who he was. I mean, that's the type of person he was.
Wow. Now, did you get intimidated having to hit a golf ball with people surrounding you like that? Were you concerned that they might need a catcher's mask?
Well, the first time I played, in the Hope tournament, I'd gone around the world with Bob Hope in 70 on his USO trip to Vietnam, and I came back and he invited me to play in this tournament. Well, I played the first 3 days, and I had never played in a pro-am before, and I played well. And I get on Saturday, and I'm paired with Arnold. And I haven't seen Arnold yet, but the group ahead of us is Bob Hope, Spiro Agnew, and Willie Mays, and the pro from who had won the last year. So Bob wants me to come over to the tee and stand there. He wanted to introduce me, and we went over a couple little jokes we had done on the USO trip. Well, now he said, stay right here. So he hits it down the middle, and Spiro Agnew gets up and tees off. Now, Chick, he's teeing off going down the fairway. There are two stands on both sides behind and forward. He hits it right off the toe of the club, hits the guy sitting in the first row. 90 degrees. He said, give him a mulligan. He tees off. He hits the guy next to him. Now, Willie tees off, hits a duck hook, takes out about 14 people out of the left side of the gallery. And I've got to stand up there for 10 minutes thinking about what I'm going to do because it's a 538-yard par 5, and it's 5 deep on each side. And so now I'm thinking about it this whole time. And then they introduce Arnold. He's out on the back tee, and I hear this, where goes the ball down the fairway, and here comes Arnold hitching his pants up and down, you know, coming down through there and giggling and smiling at everybody. And they introduced me. Now, I got to tell people, if they've never been on a first tee, always go tee up the ball before they introduce you, because when they introduce you, everybody's watching. Well, they introduced me, and I walk over, and I just, of course, been an MVP and played in the World Series, and I couldn't get that ball on the tee to save my life. Four times. It took me four times, and Arnold's looking down saying, are you all right? No, I'm not all right. And I duck hooked one over in the left side. The crowd wouldn't move. I hit a 4-wood over. I knocked it on the green. I made the putt for a birdie. Yeah. And Arnold said, what was that? And I said, that was a 4. He said, a 4? I don't even know. And we played 17 more holes in one of the most enjoyable time, and we played out there about 10 times. And we would go to dinner, and we would just... And I actually named my son Justin Palmer Bench after Arnold.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
We are speaking with the great Johnny Bench. Johnny, we got to go here, but before we do, a quick pick for the playoffs, et cetera.
Well, whoever I go with, the last time I picked all 6 teams. They all 6 lost. So, if you want the Cubs to win, then I'll pick the Dodgers. If you want, now it's pretty easy. I mean, you can pick Cleveland. They got to win one more. But I don't know. I'll have to go with Chick. Chick's way ahead of me on the information.
Well, thank you, Johnny. I appreciate that. I don't know. Whatever you want, Mr. Bench. It's fine with me.
Listen, we're going to say goodbye. Could Mr. Ivis, can you say goodbye to Mr. Bench?
Now you take her easy there, John.
It's uncanny.
Hey, Johnny, come back to the studio. We'd love to see you.
That is called a. I appreciate that. I listen to you guys. You're not on enough station around here. I get you down in Florida some, but I miss you guys. You're the best. Always have been, and I appreciate you.
Thanks, Johnny. Very kind of you. We'll look forward to seeing you soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow. Well, those are the greatest stories I've ever heard.
Well, that was amazing.
Yeah, that was terrific.
You know, I knew that he was kind of a Mr. Obvious fan. We played golf.
Well, I played golf. I was there, and Johnny was playing.
But he knows all the bits. He did all the punchlines. I was telling Dean about it, and, you know, it's Johnny Bench.
It's pretty intense.
I grew up in Central Ohio in the 70s. I mean, he's the big red machine, you know, Prez and Bench and Morgan and Concepcion. Okay.
Very good.
John brings his skewed sense of humor. Jeff brings tips to cut strokes off your next round. Together, It's those weekend golf guys.
They'll pay a lot of money to PXG and Titleist and Callaway and on and on and on. Right? How many yards do you think you're going to pick up with that extra driver? I think I can get an extra 5 to 10. What if I give you 15 to 20? You pay me more.
Jeff Smith teaches on the sliding scale.
Those weekend golf guys, the podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.